It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, last time on It's a Good Life, we looked in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we read down through verse 5. And today we want to pick up with verse 6. If you'll remember, in the first part of the chapter, it talks about young people, how that things will happen to young people as they grow older, and young people need to understand that. They need to get things right with God while they're young. And then we keep reading, and we find out as that young person grows older, that things start happening. The teeth grow fewer. They start getting up earlier, and that's because they're older. And we start getting afraid of falling, and we even get afraid of what's going to happen. And we need to remember the blossom of our youth, according to verse 5 there. And that's what many old people do, older people. They start remembering back their youth. And I would ask that young people would remember older people as well. We need to recognize that one day that if the person lives long enough that they too will be old. So we need to have respect for the older people of this world, and we need to pray for them. We need to uphold them, and we need to help them as much as possible. But the Holy Spirit here is speaking not only to the young people, but he's also speaking to the older folks as well. Now, look with me in verses 6 and 7. Let me read those again. It says, over or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Those verses are teaching us that we need to remember God before what? Before your body, the dust, before the body dies and decays and returns to where it came from, the earth. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. And we know that the bodies were created by God, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And if we keep reading there in Genesis, it tells us that God created man from the dust of the ground. And so when the body dies, it goes back to the dust. It decays. And so therefore, we need to understand that that is, it seems odd to say this, but that is part of life. It's not what God meant. God wanted us to live forever without any problems as he placed man in the Garden of Eden. But it was through sin that entered in, and the Bible says that it was for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we sometimes just want to blame Adam for everything, and some people want to blame Eve, but once again, we have a choice to make as individuals today. We need to choose who we're going to serve and whether we're going to go to heaven or not. That's a personal choice. Can't blame it on to Adam, because Adam is gone. Now, we know that by one man sin entered into the world, but we have a decision to make, and that decision is to accept Jesus Christ or reject him as Savior. But God never meant for man to die, but because of sin, death came, and now God wants each person to live forever. You say, well, how do I live forever? You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't mean your body's not going to die and go back to the dust. It simply means the real you will live forever in eternity with your Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today by asking him, Lord, come into my heart. I know I can't save myself. Please save me so I can be with you in heaven throughout all eternity. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember the body is going to decay, and it's going to return to the dust of the ground, and the spirit is going to return to God. He's the giver of life, and he's the one who made man in his own image. And so therefore, what he says is going to happen will happen. And notice with me now in verses 8 through 14, the Bible is speaking here. This is the epilogue and the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes. Verses 8 through 12, it talks about the concluding speech or the epilogue. Verse 8 through 12, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh." Well, we're getting down to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he's trying to tell us that we've gained or we've seen a lot of knowledge. We've heard a lot of knowledge from Solomon, but there's much more that we can learn. And as we study the Word of God, we learn and we learn and we learn. And the Bible tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, and that is the word of God. Well, notice what we've just read here now in verses 8 through 12. The grand theme is restated here at the end of this book. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything done in the flesh, for the flesh, amounts to nothing, according to verse 8. And then the preacher's ongoing work, because he was wise, according to verse 9, he continued to teach others. And that's what we need to do as saved people. We need to be teaching others about the Lord. And then he pondered and sought to find many proverbs. In other words, upright words of truth. Once again, it goes back to studying the Word of God. And we know that Solomon also wrote the book of Proverbs. So we can gain a wealth of knowledge by not only reading the book of Ecclesiastes, but reading the Proverbs that Solomon was allowed to pen down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then we also see in verse 10 the value of such words of truth that he's speaking of here. The words of the wise are pointed. In other words, they're goads. They become incentives for us to listen, to learn. And in this instance, and not only to learn the things of this world. You ever hear the term the place of hard knocks? In other words, some people learn the hard way. That God has given us the ability that we could learn by simply opening His book, and we can learn that way. And some people are just they refuse to learn what God wants them to learn. But remember, we look back. In verse 8, it says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And if we're doing things that is not for God, then it amounts to nothing. So therefore, God is poking us. He's letting us understand. He's giving us incentives through His Word, according to the first part of verse 11. And then that verse also says talks about the words of the scholars, the masters of assemblies, are like well-driven nails. In other words, they nail things down. They let us know what's right and what's wrong according to the Word of God, according to truth. And such truth comes only from one shepherd. And of course, that one shepherd is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we read on in verse 12, "It's good to be rebuked." Now that's, once again, people don't like to be rebuked. People don't like to be admonished. But the words come, and we are to understand that it's good to be rebuked or admonished by good words, by such words, the words of wisdom, according to verse 12. And there is no end of books being written, and diligent studying is tiring to the body, according to verse 12 there. It's tiring, but we need to keep on studying. You may find yourself falling asleep as you study the Word of God. Well, don't let that stop you. Wake up and keep studying. Don't stop, but keep on studying. And then verses 13 and 14, the grand conclusion. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter," Solomon says. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. How can he do this? Well, God knows everything. God, you know, you're not going to, as the old saying is, pull the wool over God's eyes, because he knows you. He knows me. He knows everything that we do, and he knows everything that has taken place in our lives. And remember, you go back and we read this chapter again, it starts with a young person. It goes through the life of the young person, telling that young person, remember, there's coming a time when you too are going to be old, you too are going to have age, and therefore you need to fear God now while you're young. Young people need to get saved. Young people need to be serving God while they're able, and while they're able to give out the Word of God so people can get saved and be on their way to heaven. But notice the conclusion now of what we've studied in verse 13. Fear God. Keep His commandments. In other words, do right. It's never wrong to do right. Why? Because this is man's obligation or his duty in its entirety, the whole business of life. And we look over into the New Testament and we read the section of Scripture. It says that we are ambassadors for the Lord. Well, I believe that every person born into this world needs to be an ambassador for God. Every person, everyone who breathes the breath of life that God has given them, every person needs to be serving God. And notice the end of this verse, this chapter, now in verse 14, everything a man or a woman has done, including things done in secret, whether they be good or wicked things, no matter what, God will judge it all. God is the final judge. And I wonder today, have you trusted Him as your Savior? You will stand before Him one day and you will have to give an account as to why you did not trust Jesus as your Savior. But the Bible says that every mouth is going to be stopped. In other words, you're not going to have an excuse, because God says you're without excuse if you refuse His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Why? Because God loved you so much, He sent His only begotten Son, that if you would believe on Him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. If you've not trusted Him, ask Him to come into your heart right now. He wants to save you. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to spend eternity with Him. And if you are saved, you need to be serving Him today. Father, thank you for this time and this privilege of presenting your word. For Jesus' sake, amen. I'm pleased that you joined me for Lesson 28 of Ecclesiastes. You may hear the complete Ecclesiastes Lessons series by going to one of our websites. The address of our websites will be given at the close of this broadcast. Although we finished the study of Ecclesiastes, we still need to ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study other books of the Bible. Please join me next time as we study another lesson from God's Word. In the meantime, continue to read and study the Word of God. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly, is our prayer.